We have a number of Bible readings this morning, but they start at Exodus 20. Exodus 20. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and a steward will bring you one. Exodus 20. We're reading some verses from there. Then I'll tell you where we're going to as we go and give you time to find it so that we can follow these readings. So Exodus 20, first of all, page 77. And we're reading the first two verses and then verses 8 to 11. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now turn on to page 90, Exodus 31. The command about the Sabbath is repeated on a number of occasions throughout the first five books of the Bible. Exodus 31 and verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from the work and rested." Then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, page 184. In Deuteronomy we have the repetition of the law. That's what Deuteronomy means. And I'm going to read the fourth commandment again, but you'll notice the reason given for it is extended. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And then finally, turn to Isaiah, page 745, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13, page 745. And here we have a promise from God. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, If you call the Sabbath a delight, and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of God. As you pick up your Bibles again, can I remind you that it's church lunch today, straight after the service. There'll be coffee, then after a short break, there's church lunch, and all are invited to stay. There is a nominal charge, but if you've forgotten to bring money, that doesn't matter. If you're here for the first time, we'd love you to stay with us as our guest. Please open your Bible at Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 to 11. And turning there, let's pray. Father, we thank you that the word is the Holy Spirit's weapon. It brings our sin to light. He points us to Jesus, that we might then live as those who trust in him. Please, would your Spirit do his work in us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Whether this morning you think of yourself as a fairly organized person, or whether you're someone who'd say that your life is pretty shambolic and you don't really live to any particular deliberate pattern, the truth is that we all live according to some kind of timetable. There is a rhythm to the lives that we live. In fact, even being here today for some of us is part of the rhythm of our lives, because on Sunday morning, that is when we come to church. But here's a question. Who is in charge of the rhythm of your life? Who is really in charge of the timetable you follow in your life? To use a military analogy, to the beat of whose drum are you marching through life? Is it your own drum? Is it the drum of those around us in our society? Or is it the beat of the drum of our Lord Jesus Christ? The Ten Commandments are like the beat of the Lord's drum for his brought out people. Old Testament Israel, they'd been rescued from slavery in Egypt. There they had had to follow the beat of the drum of their oppressive slave masters. But the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And through the Ten Commandments, it's as if he's saying to them, look, having brought you out by my gracious power, there is a way that you are to march through life towards the promised land. And it is the same for us if we're believers in our Lord Jesus, if we are his brought out people. These commandments are for us. And that includes this fourth commandment that we learned with the children. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And this morning we do need to think carefully about our use of Sunday. What is called by some Christians the Christian Sabbath. Before we go any further, though, I want to warn you that the way we react, the way we respond to this commandment, will reveal a huge amount about us. It will reveal whether we are trusting the wisdom of God for the timetable of our lives. It will reveal whether we have really understood the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will reveal where it is that we seek joy in our lives and where it is we seek true rest in our lives. I want to do three things. First of all, I want us to look at the actual words of this commandment. Secondly, I want to give you a warning that is very necessary as we consider this commandment. And third, I want to talk to you about what it means to enjoy the fourth commandment. Let's look first at the words. Very straightforwardly, we first of all notice that the Sabbath day is a timetable day. I'm a pretty organized person, and some people would say this is a bit over the top, but as soon as I get a new diary, you know, for a new year, I always go through it, and I mark off our family holidays. Now, it's not that I live for our holidays. I don't. But I have discovered that if I don't mark them off in advance, there is a great danger that time for rest and relaxation as a family, well, I'll not do it properly. The word remember at the start of this commandment has the idea of imprinting or marking something so that we don't forget it. And whenever we see that word remember in the Bible, it actually is there to say us, look, you need to remember because this is what you'll forget. This word remember also tells us that the Sabbath was already in existence. You don't remember something new. The Sabbath is as old as creation, as we'll see in a moment. A few chapters earlier, before the Ten Commandments were given, in Exodus 16, we're told of that wonderful provision by God, that as these people wandered through the desert, he gave them manna from heaven. It fell every day, but not the seventh day. And they were to collect double as much on the sixth day, because the seventh day was a Sabbath. The Sabbath. So the Sabbath has always been timetabled by God. A day to mark off, a day to remember, because it is a holy day. Holy is a really important Bible word. It means set apart. It means not treating something as normal or ordinary or common, but rather treating it as special. So the Sabbath is supposed to be a whole day, not just part of a day, with a difference. A holy day for the Lord's holy people. As soon as we use this word holy, though, some of us always have a very negative view of it. Can I tell you that the word holy is like a coin? It has two sides. Yes, there's a negative, but there's also a positive. So you see, in the Bible, when we're told that something is holy, it means it's been set apart from something for something else. So when in my diary, in my sort of obsessive way, I mark off our holidays, our holy days, I'm setting them apart from other days for a particular purpose, family holiday. So what's the negative? The negative side is that it is a stopping day, although it's not a negative thing, it's actually a great thing. The word Sabbath is derived from a word meaning to cease, to desist. Look at verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Look halfway through verse 10. On it you shall not do any work. The word work here has the sense of our regular, routine, habitual work. So the Sabbath is a weekly holiday from work. Yeah, from those things that legitimately and rightly occupied our time on the other days of the week. That's a reminder, too, that work is a good thing. Work is a good gift from God. Adam was put in the Garden of Eden, we're told, to work it. In a fallen world, we may find frustration and difficulty and pain in our work. That's a result of the fall. But even so, work remains a good gift from God. It's part of us being made in His image. But the Sabbath, it's a day for ceasing from our regular routine work in order to positively set it aside for the Lord. It is a Godward day. Look at verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's not a day for doing nothing. It's actually not a day, as we read in Isaiah, for pleasing ourselves. No, it's a day set apart to the Lord, for the Lord. As a deliberate ceasing of other legitimate things allows us to give the Lord our greater and fuller attention. And it's not just something we do on our own. It's something the Lord's holy people are called to do together. In Leviticus 23, another place where the Sabbath is taught about, there it says there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. It's a day for coming together as we have this morning, because it is a community day. Look again at the text of the commandment, verse 10. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. It's a day for the community of God's people, in particular that they may come together. John Wesley was a 18th century evangelist. And one day he was asked by a lady whether or not she should go to the theatre on Sunday. Wesley avoided a direct answer and turned her attention instead to the greater issue. He said, "Madam, you need only ask, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? What is the purpose of the Sabbath?" Well, one of the purposes is that we should come together as part of our setting apart the day for the Lord, because it is a modeled day. Verse 11 takes us back to the beginning. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day." Have you ever wondered why it took God 6 days to create the world? You ever wondered that? In the Gospels, our Lord Jesus created bread, turned water into wine instantly. He healed limbs, he cured diseases, just like that. If he'd wanted, God could have created the universe just like that. He's powerful enough. But he didn't. You ever wondered why? Perhaps one reason is because he was deliberately setting a pattern for us, his creatures. If it had been left to humanity to choose the length of week, we would almost certainly have chosen differently. Did you know that in the 18th century in the French Revolution and then in the 20th century in the Russian Revolution, these revolutionary people, they said we're going to have 10-day weeks. And in neither case did it last, because it didn't work. Because 1 day in seven is the good cycle. It's the good rhythm. It's the good timetable that God, our Creator, has modeled and has said, "Look, this is the way I, your Creator, says you should live. A cycle of work, a cycle of rest," which all makes it a blessed day. Look at verse 11. "Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." That's actually a quote from Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2. By modeling Sabbath rest at creation, the Lord put blessing into it. So it's a good day. It's a happy day. It's a day on which we can expect blessing as we trust that God has given it to us for our good, as we then enjoy it. That's why I read those verses from Isaiah 58. I think it's a great phrase. When in Isaiah 58, the Lord says through Isaiah, "Call the Sabbath day a delight." And if you do, he says, well, you're no joy, not sadness. You're no gladness, not gloom. Now, as I say that, there's no doubt that the fourth commandment has often been misunderstood. Some Christians have thought that honouring God on a Sunday means making it the dullest day of the week. A day marked by a long list of don'ts, of misery, of boredom. No. It's meant to be a day of delights. A blessed, happy, good day. Now, I've spent some time deliberately looking at the commandments. But as I do that, I'm aware that probably there's lots of questions in some of our minds. Not least because there are different views amongst Bible-believing Christians about exactly how the fourth commandment applies today. I'm going to nail my colours to the mast. My conviction is that I must treat it in the same way as the other nine commandments. I therefore do believe that this principle of keeping one day in seven as a Sabbath to the Lord is as relevant to me as a brought out believer in Jesus as it was to Old Testament Israel. Our Lord Jesus came to fulfill the law of God. He perfectly kept the Sabbath as it was intended to be observed. He then died on the cross, fulfilling the law's penalty. We read about it being cut off, fulfilling the law's penalty for lawbreakers like me who have failed to trust God's wise timetable of 6 days' work and 1 day's rest. And he then rose to be the saviour of all who trust in him, writing his law on our hearts by his Spirit, giving us the desire and the power, well, to start living according to his timetable. You see, learning to live according to the Lord's timetable is part of what it means to be a brought out person. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So the Son of Man, that's him, is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, having said that, though, here's the warning. I want to warn you this morning about two joyless extremes. The first is joyless legalism. The second is joyless disregard. Joyless legalism is what was demonstrated so clearly by the Pharisees in Jesus' day. If a first century Pharisee was here this morning, he would give us a list of things you must not do on the Sabbath. It would all be very negative, and it wouldn't feel very blessed. There's a Jewish book called the Mishnah. It contains decisions of rabbis about what couldn't be done on the Sabbath. So, for example, it says that an old lady wanted to know if she should wear false teeth on the Sabbath because it might constitute carrying a burden. The decision? False teeth are a burden. You mustn't wear them on the Sabbath. The rules became ridiculous. Dip a radish in salt? That's okay. Don't leave it too long because that might be pickling it and that would be work. You get dirt on your clothes? Well, you can brush it off, but don't rub it. That would be work. Throw something in the air and catch it with the same hand? That's okay. Throw something in the air, catch it in the other hand? It's work. Don't do it. Now, we may laugh, but they're kind of extremes. But the problem of joyless legalism, identified by Jesus, is that what was a positive command for God's distinctive people very quickly became negative and burdensome. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." He was declaring what has always been true, that the rhythm of 6 days' work, 1 day of rest, is a good gift from God for our good. That means that reducing it to a list of don'ts is joyless legalism. Oh, there might be a smug self-satisfaction, but no real joy in the Lord. But then what about the other extreme? Joyless disregard. Think with me about a fish. A fish has two things that make it perfect in water. Gills that absorb oxygen from the water, not from air. Fins that move through the water, but not on land. A fish needs to honour its design. It's designed for water, not for land, not for air. If a fish is in the air, well, it won't function as a fish was created to function. It will eventually die. If a fish is in the water, well, it's free to do what it was designed to do. The Sabbath was made for us. A gift from our Creator for the well-being of our bodies and our minds and our souls. The need for one day's rest in seven, it's inbuilt in all of creation. Just as I need daily rest, I need weekly rest. So to disregard this Sabbath principle is an act of arrogant pride, saying I know better than my Creator who designed me. It's like a fish saying I don't need water. It's an act of unbelief. Unbelief in God's wisdom, including in saying what the basic rhythm of life should be. And disregarding our inbuilt need of rest will never bring joy. Neither will seeking rest apart from the Lord. You see, my guess is that there are some people who disregard this principle by working all the time. There's also those who disregard this principle by actually being both a joyless legalist and a joyless disregarder at the same time. So here's how it works. I'll go to church on Sunday morning, but then the rest of the day is me time. Or I've got a hobby, and yeah, some Sundays that means I'm going off cycling, or I'm going off playing this sport, or there's an art exhibition I want to go to. So I'll do it sometimes, but hey, I need the rest, and I can find my joy in something else. That's kind of a mixture of joyless legalism and joyless disregard at the same time, and we swing from across that pendulum. Jesus said, he says to us, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the same Lord who spoke in Exodus 20. In his condemnation of the Pharisees, I don't believe he was cancelling the Sabbath. No, he was correcting its abuse. A freedom from the law as a way of salvation does not mean that we're then free from the law as a guide to our conduct. One of the blessings of the gospel is that the Spirit writes God's law on our hearts. It's a day to enjoy. And that's where we must think at the end. You see, we enjoy the Sabbath by trusting Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. And that means, I believe, doing three things on the Sabbath. First of all, resting. Resting not only physically, that we've already been thinking about, but also resting spiritually. Sunday is a day for resting afresh in all that the Lord Jesus accomplished for us through his death on the cross. My guess is that there's a question in some of your minds. How did the Jewish Sabbath become the Christian Sunday? It happened as the early church rejoiced in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When did Jesus rise from the dead? On Easter Sunday, the first day of the week. It became known in the New Testament as the Lord's Day. Now, the joyless legalism of the Pharisees, it came from a misunderstanding of the law of God. They thought that the law of God was like a ladder that you had to climb up to reach God. The way to have a right relationship with God was to climb that ladder and to work really hard at doing it, because by your work, God might then accept you. Oh, Jesus said, no, that's completely wrong. In fact, the whole Bible says it's wrong, including the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus came to do the work that we could never do for ourselves. He came to do the absolutely essential work of doing what was necessary for lawless sinners like us who have rejected God's timetable for our lives and taking the punishment our rebellion takes when he dies on the cross. And the cross was the great work of Jesus. He did the work we could never do. He did what was necessary for sinners like us to be made right with God. And his resurrection was then the great declaration that his work on the cross had been effective. Do you remember what happened at creation? That at the end of each day of creation, we're told, and God saw it, and he said it was good. And then at the end of the sixth day, it says he saw everything he'd made, and he said it was very good. One way to think about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is that on resurrection day, it was as if God was saying with a big, loud megaphone, what Jesus did on the cross was not just very good, it was very, 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 very good. And as a result, all those who trust in him, well, they can find rest for their souls. Because they know that it's not through their work that they get to God. No, it's all by God's grace that they get to God. It comes by relying, resting only in what Jesus did. And every Sunday is a day for resting afresh in what Jesus did for us on the cross. The Puritans had a lovely description for Sunday. Do you know what they called it? They called it the market day for the soul. The day to secure supplies for the week. So during the week, our focus is often rightly on our material needs. There's mortgages to pay and food bills to pay and children to clothe. We work to obtain the physical necessities of life. But Sunday, it's a day for giving time to take in the spiritual supplies we need. To remember that true rest comes from trusting Jesus. Sunday is that day for stepping aside from the usual routine, the daily grind, and say, no, this is a day to spend with the Lord Jesus. I get to spend all day with him. I get to serve him with others. I get to be with others, to talk about him, to learn from him, to find refreshment for my soul. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is those words where Jesus says, and I believe he says them continually to us, but perhaps especially on a Sunday. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Sunday is a day for enjoying that. And a day for remembering who the Lord is and who we are in relation to him. You probably noticed that the versions of the fourth commandment in Exodus and Deuteronomy are slightly different. In Deuteronomy, the focus is on God, our creator. So as we come to a Sunday, we remember our creator and we remember we are his creatures. All too easily, you see, we forget our creatureliness. We forget our need to depend on God. We forget our need, the fact that we're accountable to God. You may not have heard of Lord Mackay. I know Lord Mackay. Well, I don't know him personally, although I have spoken to him. But he was the first judge I ever had a case against when I was a solicitor. So he's a very significant man in my mind in some way. But he's a Christian. He was the Lord Chancellor of our country about 20 years ago. And he once said this. He said, the idea of Sunday observance is not to say you mustn't do this or that, but to give you a complete break and a day to think about the things of the Spirit. Why we are here. What is our purpose? And to see yourself in the wider picture. Doing so serves as a good antidote to getting too high an opinion of ourselves. I like that. And the Deuteronomy repetition of the law focuses on God as our rescuer. Our position as his rescued, brought out people. For Old Testament Israel, every Sabbath was to be a reminder that it was only because of what God had done for them that they were who they were. And it's the same for us. Sunday's a day to remember that we are who we are, that we are no longer under the miserable slavery of sin. Only because of what Jesus did on the cross. And remembering that is a way in which we refocus on what we're called to be and to do. If you read the Old Testament, you'll discover that whenever the people of Israel neglected the Sabbath, it led to them forgetting the Lord, turning away from the Lord, that then led to disaster from the Lord. And I think there's meant to be a deliberate connection between the fourth commandment and the first three commandments. Remembering the Sabbath day is a way in which we remember that we should have no other gods before the Lord. It's a day to remember that we mustn't make him in our own image, have idols. It's a day to remember that his name is to be treasured, as we were thinking about last week. It's a day for remembering, and finally, it's a day for anticipating. The Sabbath is a day for anticipating perfect rest still to come. In Hebrews 4, heaven is described as the ultimate Sabbath rest, yet to come for all who have trusted the Lord Jesus and his finished work on the cross. And as we meet together on the Lord's Day, do you know what this is? I mean, you all look a bit glum today. This is a foretaste of heaven. It is. And if you and I don't enjoy Sundays as a day for focusing on the Lord Jesus and being with his people, well, actually, we've got to ask whether or not we're looking forward to heaven. Sunday should be the best day of the week. It really should. Do you know, I'm so glad that when I was a kid, my parents went out of the way to make Sunday the best day of the week. Now, there were things we didn't do. We didn't do homework on a Sunday. We didn't go shopping on a Sunday. We didn't go to the cinema on the Sunday. There were lots of things we didn't do, but there were loads of things we did do. It was clear Mum and Dad loved being with God's people. So we did too. We almost always had folk home for Sunday lunch, and we were upset if someone wasn't home for lunch because we enjoyed being with other people. We had special food. I learned to enjoy. Try this one. Strawberry jam in a sandwich, but made extra special with whipped cream. We were allowed that on a Sunday. Maybe the man I am today. Soft brown sugar sandwiches as well were pretty good. And Mum always baked cakes on Saturday for Sunday afternoon. And Sunday afternoon was wonderful for tea. We got to eat all the things we weren't allowed to eat the rest of the week. But Mum and Dad made it special. I'm so glad that we were taught to enjoy the benefits of rest. So actually, no homework on a Sunday was a great thing. And then when that was carried on into being at university and that having been the pattern, I always ended up having university exams on a Monday morning. Always. But I discovered Sunday was brilliant. I wasn't going to learn any more on Sunday than I'd finished on Saturday night. And actually, I never lost out by it. It was a blessing. You see, that's the thing we've got to have in our heads today. What God commands is good. It really is. Oh, his commands could be abused by legalism, by disregard. But let's not let the pendulum swim one way or the other. Let's enjoy it for what it is. One of the marks of a new Christian will be the discovery of the joy of a Sunday. I need to end, but I want to tell you something. It struck me just today that I have a bad habit when I'm listening to God's word. I say yes, but I follow the word yes with the word but. Sometimes I say, yeah, that sounds right, but, and then I can give all sorts of reasons why, well, I can think about complications, or how might that apply to so-and-so, or in that situation. Look, that's avoidance. I should be saying, yes, so. Yes, so what does the Lord want me to do? Now, I don't want to give a list of do's and don'ts about the Sabbath. That would be legalism. But I would encourage us to think and talk and pray about what it means for us to enjoy the Sabbath. Parents, husbands and wives, talk to one another about it. Over lunch today, why don't we talk about, okay, how can we make the Sabbath what it's meant to be, a day of resting, of remembering, of anticipating? It should be the best day of the week. Alistair Begg, who was here for our mission, he has a little rhyme. He has lots of little rhymes. One of them is this. A Sunday well spent brings a week of content and strength for the toils of tomorrow. But a Sunday profaned, that means misused, whatever is gained is a certain forerunner for sorrow. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.